All right, here we go. Yeah, this Joe Henry told me that we all should rebound. So let's pause for a moment of silent prayer, and then we'll get cracking. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for yet another opportunity to pursue your truth. Our prayers, the Holy Spirit will instruct us as we concentrate on those things coming before us in our study. We lift our prayer of gratitude in the name of Christ our Savior. Amen. We're going to resume on page 8 at point 13. After all the Bibles, books, symbols, pictures, commandments, and holidays have been purged from the public schools, these schools shall be converted into learning centers for a new religion. You'd have to flash back in the first session to remember what the new religion is. But the new religion has to do with everything you can possibly imagine that could happen, could be communicated, and are going to be communicated to the little darlings in the public schools. The religion needs devils as well as angels. So there's a new religion now, and it has to do with concepts from the dark side. They're propagandizing the children. And much of what the new faith teaches stems from a hatred of what it views as shameful, wicked, criminal past. To the revolution, Western history is a catalog of crimes committed by nations that profess to be Christian. Now that's an assumption, but nevertheless, that's what they claim. Deconstructionist Jonathan Culler says that the Bible must be understood not as poetry or narrative, but as a powerfully influential racist and sexist text. Such sentiments are no longer rarities, but more and more the rule in higher education in the United States. Now, America and the West have been indicted on the Nuremberg charge of crimes against humanity. In moving this indictment, the revolution has complementary goals. First of all, to deepen a sense of guilt, to morally disarm and paralyze the West, and three, to extract endless apologies and reparations until the wealth of the West is transferred to its accusers. Point 18, equality is the first principle. Who sins against equality is extra ecclesia, outside the church. In the new dispensation, no religion is superior, no culture is superior, no civilization is superior. All are equal. It is diversity, the representation in society of all creeds, colors, and cultures in a multi-ethnic, multicultural nation to which we should all aspire. I don't know how much time you spend with folks you don't know. Every now and then, I go to Deerberg's, which is a supermarket in the St. Louis area. I like to go there because Deerberg's is a lot like Randall's. Oh, that's after Randall's left, it went downhill. Okay. When I serve Randall's with bread, I would walk around that store because the lights were on everywhere, all the shelves were full, and it was well organized. You come in the back door, it didn't take long to get checked in. I can always depend on that business to provide me the things that I need for my family on an ongoing basis. That's called free enterprise. Now, there's an inventory of ideas that goes along with this. I'm asking you the question. I don't know anything about where you send your children to matriculate. I have no idea. It's none of my business. But I'm curious to know, do you send your children off to a private school or maybe stay home with your own curriculum, homeschooler, or to some public education facility? You're free to do any of those things. You have to make a decision, though, and there are reasons to make these decisions. You have to make a decision. I want to find out what is being taught, how it's being taught, and what way it is being taught. The subject matter that little Johnny and little Maureen are going to be exposed to in the coming calendar year. I need to be confident about that. I'm asking you then this question. If you have your children in a public school, wherever that is, this is Shreveport, but some of you have come here from other places. Are you confident that in the public school system, in the community and state in which you live, and where you send your children to a public education facility, are you confident that they are being communicated to by an educated teacher with degrees and doing so in a way that trains the child how to think on a given subject on an ongoing basis? Are you confident? Well, there is, I don't know, no hands. I'm just saying the children show up at, I was one of those children. My parents told me I would go to school. It was not my idea. And so I went to school and I sat there. And I was supposed to pay attention to the teacher. And I got that down because my dad told me, whoever's in the front of that room is running the show. So you do not allow any phone call to me about you not paying attention or being a good student in the classroom. And I never did that because I knew it would be far worse, whatever the school system put out for me, it'd be far worse when I got home and he had gotten the phone call. Now, parents can put down mandates to the child in words that they can understand. In other words, if you do this, that, and the other thing, the issue with me is, it's yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, and no, sir. Now, let's take, as we're going to get into it as we go through our study, let's take public education in the United States of America. I have people tell me what goes on in these classrooms and the curricula. Very few of the people that I deal with put their children in public schools, although there are some. Because there are some public schools that are doing the best they can. But the real problem, the undercurrent in public education is they're mandated by the curricula that's been approved by somebody in the capital city, whatever that is. We live in a red state, and therefore Jeff City decides these things. But the children, and we're getting to this, the children are the target not only for them today, but the targets for the next generation and the next generation after that and after that. What happened, what we're going to see in our study is that there was a system that was thought up in the 1920s. We're getting to it. It's right in here in the 1920s in Germany on how to overthrow the United States of America. You didn't need a warfare. You didn't need all of these things and schemes and ideas. You didn't have to do anything like that. You don't even need an army. Capture the souls of the children first. Start with kindergarten, then go to the first grade, and then the second, and all the way up to the 12th grade, and then into college, freshman, sophomore, junior, and senior, and then graduate school. Just keep going. Keep it coming. Keep grinding it into the souls. A little bit in today, a little bit in tomorrow. Tell it this way, not that way. Keep doing it. Keep plugging away. And see how long it takes to propagandize and convert the little darlings into, what shall we say, minions for the opposition? That all began in Germany and in the United States circa 1920. Base camp was Columbia University. We'll get to all of that. Base camp, Columbia, and others followed. What they were teaching were those that would go into education. People would send their children to these schools to learn how to be a communicator of the absolutes of academia. Then it got down to who are going to be the teachers. And these people are trained. How do you decide what the faculty is going to be like? How are you going to communicate to them? And the answer was gradually, a little bit at a time. Not all at once, but just gradually. Just keep the information flowing. It has to be an undercurrent. And we'll take care of things up in Washington as time passes. We'll get all the rules and regulations all lined up. And at some point in the future, we'll have complete control of the country. Well, I'm here to tell you it took an entire century to get it done, but here we are. And no going back. The little darlings run the show. They've gone anti-Semitic. They run like wild Indians in places like New York City. Anti-Semitics. One thing, the Lord's got a lot of things that doesn't cut mustard with him. One of them is don't mess with the Jews. And they're messing with the Jews. These little darlings are anti-Semitic. I don't know what's going to happen to them either. The parents allowed this to occur in their souls and have not done anything, obviously, to alter this. But there is coming on board pretty soon a lot of people coming out of academia who are anti-Semitic, and therefore they are proud and glad to act the fool and parade around on college campuses and shut down everything within that university's operation if they don't get their way. And what is the way they want to get? Kill the Jew. I'm telling you, of all the ideas that could cross the mind of an individual, you want to buy the farm in a hurry, get involved with that. And that's where we are. When the United States of America goes anti-Semitic, that's when God takes that fork and sticks it right in the heart. 419. The current use of the present gaggle of the assumed Illuminati in its opposition to Christianity is indicated by its use of the word ecclesia. That's the word for church, by the way, which refers to the church. This is an anglicized spelling of the Greek word for church, which defines as follows with the Greek spelling. I got two of those. First is ecclesia, an assembly of the people. By the way, this comes from James 2:2, incidentally. To political assembly in ancient Greek states at which all free citizens could vote. The members of a church, a congregation, a church building. So, ecclesia can refer to an individual who goes to a church. Therefore, the church building is ecclesia, and the person that goes there can be defined in ecclesia. The second ecclesia, it was a common term for the congregation of ekletoi, that's a long E there, ekletoi, the called people, are those called out or assembled in the public affairs of a free state, the body of free citizens called together by a herald. In the New Testament, the word is applied to the congregation of the people of Israel, according to Acts 7:38. Got a post-it note on that. This term, ekklesia, is a secular use of the term that came to mean, quote, church, in the epistles. In Acts 17:38, it is a reference to an assembly that is in an inferno that is intended. And that's Acts 7:38, which I just quoted. So it has to do with an assembly, and that can be a church. So this is East Ridge Bible Church. Okay, that's the name of this whole facility. And then you are those who come in as ecclesia, members of the congregation, to have certain communication of Bible doctrine from time to time for whatever the recordings are here, however you get the information. And you have a place to go, and it's called the church, the ecclesia. And you are ecclesia as members. That's the idea. All right, with that in mind, let's go again to point 19. The current use of the present gaggle of the assumed Illuminati in its opposition to Christianity is indicated by its use of the word ecclesia, which refers to a church. This is an anglicized spelling of the Greek word for church, which is defined as follows with the Greek spelling. Ecclesia, an assembly of the people, to politically assemble in the ancient Greek states, at which all free citizens could vote. The members of a church, a congregation, a church building. Second entry, ecclesia, It was a common term for a congregation of the ekklesioi, the called people, or those called out or assembled in public affairs of a free state, the body of free citizens called together by a herald. In the New Testament, the word is applied to the congregation of the people of Israel, according to Acts 7:38, which I just quoted to you. On the other hand, of the two terms used in the Old Testament, synagogue seems to have been used to designate the people of Israel in distinction from all other nations. You find that in Revelation 2, verse 9 and 2:9 and 3:9, and also in Acts 13:43. You compare that with Matthew 4:23 and 6:2 and James 2:2. And in those passages, you have the word church used, ecclesia. So those are the concepts there. So you've got a church here. Down at the bottom of that side out front, you've got the word ecclesia. It's just in English, and it's the word church. And the term ecclesia denotes the New Testament community of the redeemed in its twofold aspect. First, all who were called by and to Christ in the fellowship of his salvation, the church worldwide of all times, and only secondarily to an individual church. Therefore, synagogue, though used in the early church as a synonym for ecclesia, that's James 2:2, quickly went out to use the went out of use for Christian assembly, except in sects, that's S-E-C-T-S, which were more Jewish than Christian. That gives you the idea of ecclesia, the church. Now, logically, it follows that candidates who would rally a constituency on the idea of Western civilization and culture are superior, and Christianity as one true faith is a heretic and a menace. You are in the crosshairs today. And you can see that on television. And when there's a loss of thought, there's a vacuousness in the souls of the people, and the shrinkage of the potential pivot in Client Nation America that's occurring in local churches has been researched for me by none other than Gary Watson, who's been to all 50 states. That was a bloviation. But I bet he's been to at least 25. His smile is saying, no, I ain't been to 25 states. I'm trying to make a point, and he's not going along with it. He agrees that I'm making a point. The point. Here's the deal, though. I know he's going to Texas, and everybody should go to Texas. So I know he's been to Texas, and I know he's going to Sioux Falls, South Dakota pretty soon, okay? Or then there's places in Virginia because there's bases there. Wherever there's bases, he goes to the bases and talks to the guys. They're guys that are growing in grace, at the same time learning how to kill people. Don't you think that's interesting? Well, they're doing their duty. And you're sitting here unscathed from anybody because these guys are killing folks. You ought to pray for the killers. It's a tough room. Okay. I'll get back to the points. Maybe that'd be better. All right. Logically, it follows that any candidate who could rally a constituency on the idea of Western civilization and culture are superior and Christianity is the one true faith, he's a heretic and a menace. To get that, as a quality, is its core principle. The Cultural Revolution teaches that the real heroes of history are not the conquerors and the soldiers and the statesmen who built the Western nations and created the great empires, but those who advanced the higher cause, the equality of peoples. As equality is a first principle, one person, one vote, democracy is the highest form of government and only true, legitimate form. This debased form of equality traces its paternity to the French. You're not surprised at that. Not the American Revolution. Through 19th century socialists, not to the 18th century American patriots. Indeed, as all men are endowed with gifts and talents and virtues, the only way to achieve equality of result is tyranny. And that's what we're into now. All right, Darwinist David Dennett, in Darwin's Dangerous Idea, published in 1995, page 516, warns creationists, quote, "You are free to to preserve or create any religious creed you wish, so long as it does not become a public nuisance. Those who will not accommodate, who will not temper, who insist on keeping only the purest and wildest strains of their heritage alive, we shall be obliged reluctantly to cage or disarm. See, you've been threatened. Come on. Are you ready? They're going to cage you and disarm you. Like any religion, the new dispensation has its own catalog of moral crimes. The major targets of this satanic assault are Western culture, Christian theology, and traditional morals. The end result is referred to by Patrick J. Buchanan as the new religion. And this is an excerpt of chapter 3 of his book, The Death of the West, pages 51 through 52, and I quote, "What does this new religion hold and teach? First, this new faith is of, by, and for this world alone. It refuses to recognize any higher moral order or moral authority. As for the next world, it will happily yield that to Christianity and traditional faith so long as they, quote, stay out of the public square and the public schools." So you do get to have a church like this, and people can show up here and learn Bible doctrine. That's what it says here. If y'all want to do that, that's fine, but you don't get in the public square with this. As from the old biblical stories of creation and Adam and Eve, serpent in the garden, original sin. See, that started things going in Genesis 2 and 3, the original sin. Believe all that if you wish. See, that's the point. But, the big, fat, juicy but there. Now, the new gospel has its governing axioms. One, first of all, there is no God. Two, there is no absolute value in the universe. The supernatural is superstition. Four, each society establishes its own moral code for its own time. And five, each man or woman has a right to do the same. Well, that's called free exercise. I go along with that up to a point. Somebody comes in this door, says, "I understand y'all have Bible classes here." And he says, "Sit down right there, we'll roll tape." Then after about maybe 5 or 10 minutes, if something is said on the oxide there, that causes that person to say, "I don't believe that." Now, what would happen there? It would be discourteous to get up and interrupt the Bible class and march out the front door, obloviating. That would be rude. You wait till the last amen is said, and they'll go out the front door here, get in the car, and drive off. And that's the end of that. That would be the honorable way to do it. But you are free to come to a Bible class and say to yourself when it's done, "I'm not buying that," and that's okay. In the moral realm, the first commandment is all lifestyles are equal. Listen to this. All voluntary sexual relations are permissible, and all are morally equal. This principle is to be written into law, and those who refuse to respect the new laws are to be punished. To disrespect an alternative lifestyle marks one as a bigot. Homophobia, not homosexuality, is the evil that must be eradicated. Part 4, the process of the inversion of thought. To believe that all lifestyles are equal means that we must accept the idea that Christianity is no better or worse than Islam, that a monogamous marriage between one man and one woman is no better or worse than premarital sex or homosexuality, that Western culture is no better or worse than that found in Saudi Arabia, China, or France. To assert the opposite is said to be judgmental. When a person is criticized for holding judgmental views by those of the new religion, they are not being judgmental, they are enforcing the law of the new moral code. Through the impact employed by these institutions, the doctrines of the new morality have replaced the Judeo-Christian ethic held sacrosanct by our founders. Those who hold fast to the traditions of our forefathers and the theology of Protestant Christianity find themselves increasingly at odds with the gatekeepers of this new religion, constantly at odds. See, if they could go along with the freedom we already enjoy from our Constitution and its amendment. It's okay for them to believe this. Why not? Let them see how that dog hunts over time. But then to try and infuse into the legal system of this country penalties for people that are using their own free will to either go to church or not, to grow in grace or not, and in doing so, believe things they disapprove, means that they are tyrants. And that's among the ilk that is now pressing forward to transform the entire country. And you'll note in the middle of that page, this is when the real information begins to flow. In fact, Davis, how much time do I have left? It's 5 minutes till 9. Okay, well, here's what, though. I'm trying to do a promo. You know what a promo is? Okay. I was in TV business, and you have a promo. Nobody paid for that. I want everyone to go to the park tomorrow and take your picnic basket, and so-and-so is going to be there, and that kind of thing. That's a promo. Nobody's buying anything. And then the next commercial is, will you buy the Chevrolet when you go down to Fred's Chevrolet house? That's a commercial you had to pay for that. So what we're having here is I'm trying to promote something. Not going to cost you anything, but you don't have to pursue it. You're just going to have to listen to it. You have to listen to what I got to say so you know how to reject it, okay? That a pastor's job is to tell the truth as best he knows how, and then there are people in the congregation, what did you think about the pastor's message? He lies like a fool. I've never heard anything as bad as in my whole life. I've never heard anybody in an entire hour, every word he had to say was a bold-faced lie. And that would be okay. I'm serious. You don't have to believe me. You need to believe the Word of God, though. And I bloviate about how I go back to the original languages and I pull the original language into the English because that's what y'all speak. You don't speak the Hebrew. So you have to get the Hebrew. Let's find out what this word means. All the little squiggles they've got and little dots and little T's and what have you. You know what I'm saying? Anybody here speak Hebrew? Anyone? Well, that's one language, and that's in the Old Testament. That's Hebrew, and all that squirrely stuff you see at the bottom, those are letters. And the letters can be translated into things we have in English that have the ABCs all the way down to the Z. See? And you take, what do the scrambled eggs look like, and what do the squirrelies look like? These are the squirrely things we have in Greek. You say, I don't really care because I can't read either one of those. But when I go to church, this guy knows how to take the squirrelies and the squigglies and pull those together into English, and he has to piece all of that together so that when he gives us an expanded translation of a given verse, it contains the information that I need to know. Where did he get it? From the original. And that's why you sit in the chair all the time. I am going to go down to point 5. The Frankfurt School have something to say about that. Of course, that's the problem we've got in client nation America. I've got a couple of points to make, but point 5, the Frankfurt School, the Satanic Academy's main campus. Now, point 6 and 7, I'll just reiterate. The legal precedents established over the past 75 years and the thinking behind the inversion of our culture can be tracked back to the writings of Karl Marx and a group of East Europeans who transformed economic Marxism into cultural Marxism. The thinking of these men was found either in the philosophy or on the faculty of the Institute of Social Research located at Frankfurt University in Germany. Their institute later became known simply as the Frankfurt School. Paragraph 5, the Frankfurt School, Satanic Academy's main campus, that's who is taking over the country, and they've been at it for an entire century. And I'm about to tell you how. I've got a few minutes. At least I can do is introduce you to the players of the game. Here are the guys that are destroying the country. Point one, if the Satanic Academy of Cosmic Didactics had a main campus during the 20th century, the Frankfurt School would have to be heavily considered for that location. Secondly, there are several men we're about to discuss who either influenced the teachings at that school or were actually on its faculty. It is important that we meet each and learn a little about his background. Here are a few bios from the New Encyclopedia Britannica Micropedia, 15th edition, published in 2010. So, according from the Encyclopedia Britannica, let's find out about these guys. All right, number one, Georgi Lukacs, in the 1885 to 1971. Hungarian Marxist philosopher who joined the Hungarian Communist Party in 1918. Lukacs, for a short period of 1930 to 31, at which time he attended the Marx-Engels Institute in Moscow. In 1933, he left Berlin and returned to Moscow to attend the Institute of Philosophy. Lukacs wrote 30 books and hundreds of essays and lectures. Among his other works are Soul and Form, published in 1911, a collection of essays that established his reputation as a critic. New Encyclopedia Britannica, Volume 7, page 554. Antonio Gramsci, he lived 1891 to 1937. During World War I, he studied Marxist thought, and in 1921 formed the Italian Communist Party. During World War I, he studied Marxist thought and became a leading theoretician. He formed a leftist group within the Socialist Party, and in January 1921, he founded the newspaper, known in English as the New Order. He became head of the Socialist Party in April 1924, and in May 1919, but was arrested and imprisoned. Released 11 years later, he died in a Roman hospital. His book, Prison Letters, was published posthumously. That comes from Volume 5, pages 4, 11, and 12. Theodore Adorno, this guy here, all four of these guys are key players in the overthrow of this country. But here's another one, Theodore Adorno. We'll see why in a moment. He lived from 1903 to 1969. He's a German philosopher and music critic. He taught at the Frankfurt School from 1931 to 33, at Oxford University, 34 to 37, at Princeton, 1938 to 50, and then back to the Frankfurt School from 1950 to 69. He was influenced by George Hegel and Karl Marx. Adorno was among the co-authors of The Authoritarian Personality, the most influential book published by the Frankfurt School. It was the workbook later used in the United States to deconstruct the four divine institutions. Now, New Encyclopedia Britannica, Volume 1, page 99. Number 4, Herbert Marcuse, 1898 to 1979. A German political philosopher whose analysis of mid-20th century U.S. society were very popular among student radicals. He was co-founder of the Frankfurt Institute of Social Research. Marcuse fled to Geneva in 1933 as Hitler rose to power, then went to the U.S. in 1934, where he taught at, yes, it's true, Columbia University, and became a naturalized citizen in 1940. Intelligence analyst for the Army during World War II, he headed the Central European section of the Office of Intelligence Research after the war. Marcuse returned to teaching in 1951 at Columbia and then Harvard in 1954. In his work, he examined what he considered to be the repressive character institutions and in the attitudes and goals of men. Among his books are Eros and Civilization in 1958 and One Dimensional Man. That's in 1964. In both, he attempts to merge the theories of Karl Marx and Sigmund Freud into a formula that will produce a utopian society. Encyclopedia Britannica, Volume 7, pages 829 through 30. These men and their associates are the architects of what has come to be known as cultural Marxism. Frustrated by the failure of economic Marxism in Russia, several of these men came together to establish the Frankfurt School at Frankfurt University in Frankfurt, Germany. They concluded the reason economic Marxism didn't work either in Russia or in Europe was because when the revolutionaries began, the workers, rather than uniting against the establishment, joined the military to protect their respective homelands. An excellent analysis of the events that led to the establishment of the Frankfurt School is provided below by Patrick J. Buchanan. Now, what I want to do is go over to page 15 to the footnote. What you'll see is a chapter entitled Four Who Made a Revolution. Chapter 4 in The Death of the West, New York, St. Martin's Press, 2002, pages 73 through 75. I want you to see the source for this. When we start our Bible study tomorrow night, first session, this is where we'll begin our study. It turns out this is a good idea because we're going to see from this excerpt by Buchanan, note that this is The Death of the West is the name of his book. The chapter, Four Who Made a Revolution, referred back to the four guys I just introduced you to. Notice on page 14.5, an excellent analysis of the events that led to the establishment of the Frankfurt School is provided below by Buchanan. Then we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 paragraphs that will sum up what we need to know about who these guys are and what they're up to and give a base and a foundation for what we'll then discover as we move through our study. And that means I've run out of time. We'll crank it all up again tomorrow evening at the usual time. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the privilege and opportunity of gathering here in order to study your immutable word. We thank you for the information that has been made available to us to analyze the projected overthrow of client nation America in the present hour. What believers do in this process is very critical to the outcome of that drama. May we be a part of the victory. We do so by being a good student in the study of the Word of God and for the glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. We lift our prayer of gratitude in Christ's name. Amen.